on the defense of this, or I guess on the attack on Democrats on this threat to democracy stuff, is that, for instance, Trump has not committed to accepting the results of the election, right? That sounds to me like a threat to democracy, and I don't think it's that unfair to question someone's commitment to democracy if they're saying that they, you know, can't commit to the results of the election. Another one is a lot of defenders of the former president have latched on this dictator concept that Kamala Harris said that Trump might be a dictator. He said those words himself. He might have been joking, but he said, I will be a dictator on day one. And I guess I'm struggling with this idea that echoing those points is somehow putting chum in the water.
Well, CNN, their contributor, Elliot Williams, says it's not unfair to say that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. He has been shot at twice, but yes, let's please continue to call him a threat. Let's get DeRoy Murdoch, our friend on here, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. DeRoy, we always talk about what's going to happen between the times that we get to speak to one another and we have a second attempt on Donald Trump's life. What are your thoughts and reactions after you heard that that had happened a second time?
Annie, good to talk to you again. Yeah, just unbelievable. I mean, every day it's something else. Every week it's something else. And thankfully, Donald J. Trump survived a second assassination attempt against himself in, what, 6 weeks, something like that? Unbelievable. And boy, thank God for that Secret Service agent who was able to pick out a gun muzzle, at, I assume, a long distance amid a bunch of bushes. I mean, that's, you know, if he'd been distracted or maybe didn't have such good vision, we could be talking about a state funeral underway. Absolutely horrifying. And, you know, I wonder why this keeps happening over and over. Is this just incompetence on the part of the management of the Secret Service, never mind the heroism of those immediately around Trump who threw themselves on him and got between him and any potential bullets? But photographers know that particular part of that golf course, you can sit there and take pictures. Why was there not a Secret Service agent there, at least at the point where Trump was about to come by and make sure nobody sat there with any ulterior motives? This gunman, Ruth Routh, however you say his name, was sitting there apparently for about 11 and a half, 12 hours. Did he get some inside information saying that Trump was going to play golf the next day at 1:30? Apparently that was a kind of an unpublicized inside information kind of thing. So how do you know about that? So it's just horrifying. And I just hope that the cat of nine lives has seven more lives to go.
You know, DeRoy, what do you make of that information? It's a very damning piece of evidence that the shooter was there so much earlier than President Trump was in an off-the-record movement. I mean, there are only a few ways that that can be explained, and I'm wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it could be that he just happened to be lying in wait thinking, gee, I hope it's a sunny Sunday and Trump happens to come by, and if he does, I'm here waiting for him. You know, let's hope that's the case. If that's not the case, then the question is somebody on the inside either providing information loosely all over the place and this guy picked it up, or even worse of all, if somebody said, Mr. Ruth, Trump is going to be playing golf tomorrow after about, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know where to go. Sit there and wait for him to come around. And if that's the case, we're dealing with something really, truly, deeply nefarious.
You know, what do you make of the way people are talking about this event after the second time? There's no reason, especially if I'm Donald Trump's daughter or wife or whatever it is, I'm not thinking that time two is the last of it at all. And I don't, after the fact, all we see is people talking about who's to blame about creating a culture where we talk about one another in such in vitriolic ways. And people are talking about Donald Trump as if, you know, I've said this on the air, many people have said this as well, that if you have a rape victim and you say that her skirt was too short or she was asking for it, that's like one of the most reprehensible things that you can do. But in theory, that's exactly what they're saying about this man.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically saying, look, you know, if you don't want to get raped, why are you wearing high heels and, you know, bright red lipstick?
Yes.
You know, don't do that if you want to get, yeah, same concept. You know, if you don't want to get shot, you know, keep your mouth shut. Unbelievable. And look, these, it'd be a lot easier to be lectured by these people if they were not out there saying things like Rick Wilson, the head or one of the big guys in a Lincoln Project, who's a big anti-Trump guy, referring to the donor class. He said they're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact. You've got Johnny Depp, actor. He said, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? An actress here in New York, Carol Cook is her name. She said, where's John Wilkes Booth when you need him? Madonna, I thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House when the day after Trump got inaugurated. So they always say, oh, Trump started this, and he's using the political rhetoric. Whoopi Goldberg was on TV yesterday saying, oh, one side's doing it, it's not us. No, Whoopi, it is people on the left who are getting up and saying things like Joe Biden himself. I said, if I were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. You know, this is violent rhetoric. This isn't, we disagree with his views, or we don't like his tax cut, or gee, we wish he'd spend more money on the poor, what have you. No, this goes beyond, you know, we don't like his hair or his face is too orange. This is beat the guy up, punch him in the face, shoot him. And it's the left saying that about him. And then you call him Hitler. You say he's the biggest threat to democracy. If he gets elected, that'll be the last election in America. And you say this sort of thing over and over. And at some point, somebody who's got a loose microchip in the head says, well, I'm going to be a hero, get a gun and kill the American Hitler before he can come back to power. And this seems like these people, either they are totally reckless and they can't watch themselves, or they deliberately are saying this kind of thing, hoping that somebody somewhere will have that switch in the head, flip the wrong way, and decided to take it on himself to put an end to Donald J. Trump's life.
Yeah. I mean,
horrifying behavior.
The stakes are really high. I saw Chris Cuomo on his show talking about how reprehensible the reaction is and how we should on both sides of the aisle be able to say that this is unacceptable, that President Trump's life is under this much threat. I think everybody understands that world leaders like President Trump and President Biden and Kamala Harris, that there are going to be people who want them dead. We know that there mm-hmm. are actors in foreign countries that know, should Donald Trump become the president once again, that their ability to exact their power, like Iran, across the world, it's not going to be like it is right now with Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. They're going to take a much That's harder right. stance. What do you think about the politics, if they're at play at all, in the protection that Donald Trump is getting from the Secret Service through the Biden administration?
Well, you know, it seems like they're playing political games and saying, all right, well, you know, we don't particularly care for Trump, so we're going to give him less protection than we would otherwise. The argument is, well, he's a past president, so he doesn't need that much. From my understanding, and I don't have the exact figures on this, but my understanding is Obama gets more protection than Trump does, and Trump's a former president, just like Obama. Obama's not running for president. Trump is. So it seems like he ought to get more protection. And given that we already had one assassination attempt that actually hit him. Nobody just aimed a gun at him. He actually shot him. And luckily for Trump, he came within about an inch of having a bullet in his head. Luckily, it just grazed his ear. But that's already happened. I think we all thought after that they said, all right, you've been hit once. We're going to increase the security around you. Well, apparently not. That hasn't happened up until Sunday. I hope it's happened now, finally. You know, do we need a third assassination attempt before Trump gets all the full complement of Secret Service agents and all the security procedures and personnel and resources he needs to stay alive? And I would say that if they're Democrats who think, well, we don't care much about Trump, if someone takes him out, whatever. Look, if we start that game and Trump gets killed, I think somebody's going to say, all right, well, that's one for you, one from our team. Let's get one from your team. And somebody's going to say, all right, we need to take out Kamala. We need to take out Biden. We need to take out Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. I don't want that to happen at all. I hope these people all stay alive and well and, you know, spend time with their friends and families until they grow old and so on. But, you know, it shouldn't surprise anyone that if Trump gets taken out, somebody somewhere is going to think, you know, we need even the score. So if absolutely for no other reason than their own self-preservation, the Democrats need to get on board with this and lay down the principle that you vote people out of office, you don't kill them, number one, and number two, you protect politicians so they can do what they do, win elections or lose elections safely, and then go about their business. And it's in the interests of people left, middle, and right that this be the case, or we're just going to end up in a Beirut-type situation that nobody wants.
I want to ask you one last question before we let you go, because Donald Trump has to continue his campaign, obviously now continuously in the line of fire. That's what we understand about him, and probably what he's understood about the situation for far longer than we have. What do you want to see from President Trump? We've got not very long left in this election mm-hmm. cycle, 48 days until Election Day. People are voting right now. What's the winning message from Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I've said all along, focus on public policy. You know, he ought to talk about, he ought to raise the question at every stop he makes, every interview he gives, every TV appearance he does, are you better off now under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, or were you better off under the presidency of Donald J. Trump? And you look at almost any economic metric. You look at the situation at the border, illegal aliens and illegal alien criminals running across the United States of America, chaos in the Middle East, chaos in Europe with Ukraine and Russia. Things were much better when Trump was president. I mean, I think that's an objective reality. You might not like the Twitter posts and some of the comments he made, but you look at the economy. You look at the situation with immigration. You look at the situation with national security overseas. And I don't think you can say anything other than things are better off when we were all better off when Trump was president. I'd make that point over and over. I would stress Kamala Harris's record. I would talk about the nonsensical nature of her proposals. Gouging price controls at supermarkets, et cetera. I always ask the question, I'd like to ask Kamala, what is the proper price for a pork chop? Please tell us that, because you can't control the price, so you know what the price is. So, Madam Vice President, what is the correct price for a pork chop? I'd ask that question. And then I would talk about my own proposals if I were Trump. If I were Trump, he didn't do this in the last debate, and he should have. You know, no tax on tips. No tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security benefits, and now he's talking about restoring the deduction for state and local taxes as well, which I guess he's going to talk about today or tonight in Long Island. And I would talk about those proposals and make sure everybody knows what he's running on, restoring his old tax cuts, stitching up the border, and restoring peace through strength and fighting crime in our streets. And if he talks about that and sticks to that, focuses on that, doesn't get distracted and take the bait when the left tries to get him to talk about all sorts of side issues, I think he can win this election and win comfortably. But he's got to stay at it, work hard, campaign every day. He doesn't seem to be doing quite as many rallies as he did in 2020 or 2016. He ought to be doing 2-3 events a day at least.
Yeah.
And stay at it, stick on the issues, and hammer, hammer, hammer.
Yeah. I mean, if he puts himself out as he did the last time, he's getting shot at. And when you look at the preparation that's going into these rallies with the Secret Service, in some cases, you can't cut any corners. So I kind of wonder if he's pulled back a little bit just for his own safety. But
interesting.
Go ahead.
You could certainly do indoor events. I mean, if you're inside a stadium, they can protect that. Even if you're like at a football stadium where it's open air, but you've got to go through metal detectors to get in, that seems to me like that would be safe. And then certainly one easy way is hold events at airports. I mean, if you're doing stuff where you're inside of an airport hangar with people sort of flowing out onto the tarmac, you can get 10,000-20,000 people out there. And if you're in the middle of an airport, you're in somewhere that's going to be really pretty far from. I mean, airports always have a big perimeter around them, so that would seem just by nature of the way airports work to be a pretty safe situation.
I think
so. He can do things like that.
Yeah.
Open fields with nearby buildings, maybe that's not a good thing to do for a while.
For a while. Thank you for being with us, DeRoy. Until next week, Lord knows what
will
happen.
Until next week. Let's hope it stays calm for next week. All right, Annie. Thanks
very
much. Take care. Bye.
Nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch. Happy to have him on the show with us. Quick break now, and we're going to come back with Lieutenant Joe Gamaldi. He's a Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President. He's an officer at the Houston Police Department as well. And he's going to talk to us about the Fraternal Order of Police's endorsement of President Trump. Those people who are effectively out there invested in law and order have said Trump's their guy. And he's going to talk to us. We're going to talk to Lieutenant Joe about that when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll. Are you paying attention to polls? Yes or no? Let us know what you think at the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.